Social impact everywhere.
Okay, so hi everyone and welcome back. Today we have another special guest with us. We have Amir Bormond, and he is actually the founder, if I'm correct about that.
Correct.
Perfect. He's the founder of Elevano, which is a candidate-focused recruiting company, which sounds super, super interesting. And I want to delve into that a little bit more because we talked about this a little bit before on the call, but I won't say too much, that you're trying to find a unique lens for recruiting. I really appreciate that and like that. So before I do that, though, I want to say thank you for, you know, taking time today to be on the podcast with me.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And so let's go into the first question. And the first question I have for you is, you know, just explain a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Sure. So I actually graduated a master's degree in technology, went into engineering, thinking I really am going to enjoy being a software developer long term. I'd say within the first 18 months, I realized that I really didn't like it. And it's that awkward realization that you spend a lot of time, money, and what are you going to do with it? And I quickly decided that I needed to get towards something I liked. What I really enjoyed was dealing with people. So I started a journey of meandering to the people side of technology, into the sales side. I kind of just enjoyed it so much that I wanted to start my own technology consulting company. And that morphed into a recruiting company. And with my engineering background, it does give us very unique insights in terms of how people think, how we market, how we interact with our audience. So it's been quite a journey, but I enjoy it, and I wake up every morning just invigorated to do it.
It's amazing. And the one thing I noticed there at the end that you said, you wake up invigorated, right? That's something that is almost the platform and the foundation for being in a successful company or having a successful career. You have to be happy in it.
You know what's funny is, when you first start a business, you're like, I'm going to grow this thing really big and I'm going to be filthy rich and it's going to be awesome. And then you do it and you're like, I have to run payroll, I have to be HR. And if you really don't enjoy every aspect of your business, it becomes a grind, and just going to work becomes difficult. But yeah, honestly, it's I try to make sure our work environment's really light, really fun. I interact with employees. I myself, you know, have come up with frameworks and constructs to keep my day amused and interesting. And I think you have to kind of know how you work and how you function at a high level to be able to sustain it day in and day out.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, it's funny too, cause I work in as an executive in a tech company right now, and we're about 3 to 4 years old, but I joined about 2 years ago, and you know, it was the high of joining. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, tech company, we're going to build this huge, we're going to disrupt everything. And then about a year in, I was like, man, this is a slog. And I realized, you know, the beautifulness of entrepreneurship faded away pretty quick. And then it became a slog. But then what was nice after that is I started finding out the little things better, right? The things where I was like, oh, this is nice. You know, oh, this is nice. Oh, this fulfills me. And now I'm just, it's a lot more fulfilling rather than, you know, that high of it. But it hit me like a brick.
It does, man. Like you know, when the first time you have to figure out payroll and you're trying to figure out like how to do it right. And you're like, I have to make sure people get paid and get paid on time and forget me. Nothing's about me anymore. I've realized that everything is, I'm accountable for everything. Like I've come to that realization that owning a business means I'm accountable for every little decision that's made, right or wrong. It's my fault or it's a good decision on my part. But everyone who works for me, you know, has to kind of live and exist with those decisions. So there's so much pressure to make sure that everyone is set up correctly and everyone's taken care of their needs and your needs become secondary. And I think that really becomes, you know, again, when you wake up every day and you're like, you know what, I work for them technically. Like, yes, they're my employees, but I actually work for them on a daily basis to make sure that they can do their job, they can be happy, they can be successful.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a huge perspective shift that I found.
Absolutely. Yeah. Small companies are way different than working for giant companies where you're just, a cog in the wheel and you're doing important work, but you're kind of insulated from seeing all the other dynamics of a small company where you wear 10 hats.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Bring back all those feelings. Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
I want to jump into, you know, a little bit about you, a little bit about Amir and what you're doing. And the question I have for you is, how are you making a positive impact in your community?
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I'm gonna give you a story about the first placement we ever made in the company, and it really is what drives us. So this goes back to I don't know, like 6-7 years. I don't know the exact date. We had a casino in Las Vegas that was looking for us to find a database developer. We had never worked in the Las Vegas market. We had no network, but we said yes. We're a small business. We wanted to make money, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Weeks went by and we had nothing for this manager who'd call in and check in. And we said, you know, it's a tough market. You know, the Vegas talent market is just different. And one morning I wake up and I was like, right, I'm going to just post this job on Craigslist. And my brother's my business partner. And he looked at me like, and what? And I go, I don't know. I'm out of ideas. And we post this job listing on Craigslist and nothing happens as we expected. And then one day we get this guy who applies and he's an Amazon pick and packer who lives in Vegas. And he looks at me and goes, why are you bringing this up? I go, well, you know, he's the only guy who applied. And 4 years ago, he was a database developer. He goes, that's a long time. I go, yes. So I have nobody else to talk to for this role. I'm going to give this guy randomly a call. I'm going to talk to somebody nonetheless. So I call the guy and he's like, look, yeah, the economy had gone down. I lost my job. My wife lost her job. We lost her home. We moved to Las Vegas and we're both working for Amazon picking and packing. And, we're making ends meet. And he goes, the technology that I work with is exactly what this client wanted, but 4 years ago. So it's dated.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but let me call the manager. Because I'm just curious what his opinion would be. He's probably going to yell and scream at me, but what the heck at this point, I got nothing else. So I call the manager and I spend about 10 minutes on the phone going, look, you know, I have nothing else for you. You can't find people anyways. Can you pretend to turn back the clock to 4 years ago and interview this guy as of the technology skill set he had? And he kind of was hesitant and I convinced him. I said, just give him a shot. I got nothing else. He seems really like a nice guy, nothing less. You know, the short story now is that he ended up getting the job and he was making, I think, $7-8 an hour. And the job that we got him was $73,000 starting salary.
Oh my God.
And I remember when he called me, he said, you don't realize that materially this probably changed the trajectory of my life forever because no one else was going to give me a shot. I thought I was going to be doing, you know, something, you know, in a warehouse picking and packing for Amazon for the rest of my life. And I really did kind of think that might have been true in his case if we didn't all just participate in his story. So I think things like that happen so often in recruiting and that story, you know, our first placement and the way it was, it kind of just made us feel that everyone's job is so important to them and it's where they spend most of their time, most of their days. So a lot of times they're going to get a job, they're not happy, that carries over to their household life. And so we always try to do right because we see it's such a big part of somebody's day.
Hmm. Wow. No, that's a powerful story. And just the, you know, the disparity between, you know, $7-8 an hour to $70,000 that, you know, it's not always material need isn't always important, but the disparity between $7-8 and $70,000 is life changing. That really is.
And he went back to where he was. Like, that's where that guy, so like, you know, prior to being at Amazon, he was a, you know, IT engineer who's used to certain, you know, type of job. And he was like, you know, I missed that drive, but he's in Las Vegas. There's not the job openings anyways. Yeah. So it was really just interesting to see, I kept in touch. We kept in touch for a couple of years and then it kind of just, you know, went by the wayside, but he was still there after like 2-3 years. He was so happy.
Wow.
And, we were just happy for him nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So now I'm interested because the next question is about business. So now that we've talked about, you know, your building blocks is very human based, very, very human based. And you changed someone's life just in the first, you know, little bit of starting this, which is awesome. Absolutely. But I want to talk about social impact. And the question I have for you is, do you believe social impact is an important part of business?
Yeah, 100%. So I believe there's different components of social impact. I think the way the business conducts itself is very important. So being cognizant of your interactions with people, being cognizant of how you enter the marketplace with your service and the position, I think is very important. So I think all those things, especially in an industry like recruiting, where we have a bad reputation, so many people have done poor things and the expectations are very low of recruiters. I think it really goes upon every recruiter to help change that. There's a lot of talk of changing, but end of the day, making the close, the revenue, sometimes supersedes that, which is the unfortunate part.
Yeah.
So we as a company have made it a priority. I was an engineer, I was recruited, so I disliked a lot of those practices. So we don't take any of those things into play in terms of how we approach things. So I think for us as an organization, we're doing what we can. And then obviously, from a personal perspective, we participate in a couple of women in product management groups and other similar groups where, it's trying to focus on diversity and bringing a different population into the engineering space. Mm. So we do try to kind of do what we can. Obviously, we're not an engineering company producing a product, but as a service company, obviously, whatever we can do to help whenever in any way we can, we do.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's that human-based element, right? You've obviously embedded it into the mission of the company and what you do as a person and the CEO, that this is important to me.
Absolutely, 100%.
Wow, okay. I like that. So last question I have for you then, and it's about your advice. And I'm always curious about this question because it changes, so drastically from the background you've been from the elements that you've put into your life. But it's, what's your advice for others to begin building a social impact, or let's just say impact, in their communities?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from just judging ourselves. It keeps us from actually doing what we would otherwise do. I think that that fear, the judgment, it really limits what we do. And I think from the standpoint of what I've learned about myself and I see in others, and I've tried to kind of help a few people around me see, and it's not always easy, but I think when you get over the fact of you judge yourself for everything that goes wrong and you don't give yourself any credit for things that go right, it becomes difficult to want to take initiative. And you spend a lot of time analyzing because you're overvaluing the disappointment and failure and what could possibly be. So I think the one thing that I've learned for myself was that, and honestly, we've had the same message in the company for a long time.
Yeah.
And my brother has been pushing me that people need to understand materially we're a different company. And I myself have refused to want to do the public speaking, do the engaging. And it really was a realization that I went through, a process I went through to realize that I have a message that I'd like to share. And the only way that I can do that is actually by doing it.
Yeah.
And the thought process of doing it was a lot harder than actually going through with it. And I think that's what I've honestly learned is sometimes you just rip the Band-Aid off and you just roll down the hill. And you know what? It's okay. It'll work out.
Well, and people would generally be surprised that how often when you just do something, and even if you put a little bit of time into it, doesn't have to be a lot of time, but you generally put your heart into something, there's always a positive outcome, right? There's always something learned. And it could be, 60% of what you could normally do if you had the time to do it. But as long as you give an outcome, people appreciate that, right? We always have this perception, public speaking, these public speakers that are professionals, they go on stage and they kill it. First of all, they've been doing it 20 years. Second of all, it might be 60% of what they normally do. But to us, that's incredible because even just the putting themselves out there and, sharing that message, that is something, right?
Yeah. And, sometimes you just have to, I think if you find what you're passionate about, some of that, I think part of it is if you do find that passion and you realize what you enjoy doing, you apply yourself to actually figure out some of the granular pieces faster. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us don't know what we really want to do with that excess time, what our hobby, our passion is. And I think that really makes it difficult then to apply yourself because you're kind of sort of half into it, half out of it. And we just don't do it. We'd rather watch Netflix and relax on our couch. So
it's a hard problem.
it is a hard problem. I mean, that is a very appealing option. I enjoy a good show and binge watching like the next person. But to then do something, in your case, the podcasting, there's a lot that goes into the editing. I mean, you have to have a passion for it.
Yeah.
The first one you did, I'm sure not as good as the 10th or the
No, it's 1000th. It's embarrassing.
But you have a passion, you spend your extra time, you learn the craft and you put yourself out there and you make the impact that you are. So I think it's in those things, gotta find your passion and just gotta do.
Yeah. And the first thing you said too is so true that we have this, these personal rhetorics, we have these personal biases and they really play into whether we do things or we don't, I would have rather have done that blog. Oh, I rather would have done that podcast, but for, ABC, I can't do it. Right. But once we remove those, and that's what I did with podcasting too. You know, I'd never done it. I like talking to people, but that's about it. Didn't know how to podcast. I had no idea, but I just did it, right? And the first one, yeah, it was pretty miserable. Loved the conversation, but it got progressively better, right? It's just because I really just did it. I just removed my personal bias and just said, let's have, I just want to have fun, right? I like talking to people. That's the basis of why I started it. But it started with removing that personal bias first.
Yeah. And it goes back to the first question you asked of, you know, waking up every morning. So I think if you have a passion, waking up in the morning and going through the grind is a lot easier than when you wake up in the morning going, oh crap, I really don't want to do this. It's really hard to stay dedicated and focused to something where, you know, the back of your mind, you just, it's a force. And I think with the way the world is, with all the social platforms, with all the avenues, I think people can take passions and make them part of their lives. And it might even be a monetary part of their life. You don't know until you do. But I do think everyone has an outlet that can, you know, the internet has such a long tail out there that if you like collecting purple socks, I guarantee you there's a community of people that collect purple socks somewhere in the world, and you can talk with them at nights, and it'll be fun for you.
Yeah. And I know there should always be that separation of, you know, your personal fun time and making money. But like you said, there's so many surprising niches to make money in. And if you really enjoy it and you're okay making that, you know, a business opportunity too, there are so many ways to make money now. There is. It's not, you know, the standard A and B anymore. There's the purple socks.
If I could knit, I would start making purple socks, because I think there's probably people out there that buy them. I just can't knit for them. Yeah.
No, there definitely isn't. And that's the thing I like about it, right? There are so many opportunities, and it really is being honest with yourself about what do I like? What do I like doing? And then just doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. That Band-Aid's got to be ripped off.
I like that. Band-Aid 100%. Being ripped off. Yep. Awesome. So that's actually all the questions I have. But awesome. I wanted to end with saying, Amir, thank you so much, you know, for taking even just, you know, 20 minutes of your time today to be with me and talk about your perspective, you know, Elevano and everything that you're doing in the recruiting community.
Awesome, Avery. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Great dialogue. Enjoy talking to you.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. And you got me pumped up now.
Awesome, man.